Welcome to After Hours on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday evening. I'm Rick Kogan. It is a full show. I'm sitting here in studio with my 6 o'clock guest who wanted to see how this all works, Michael Clevenger, my old friend. He's with Ragdale. I'm on the phone with two people I have admired for... I'm getting old. Becky Menzie and Tom Michael are both on the phone. They are a team, but they're also individually two of the most talented musicians, cabaret artists in Chicago. How are you two?
We're good, but if you're getting old, we're getting old too, so don't say
well, but
that.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that, though, Becky. There's nothing wrong with getting old. You two, and I'm so glad to have you for this entire hour. You are, it's been a collaboration for you two for more than 20 years, and it culminates again June 30th in Reimagine the Beatles, a concert with an interesting man named Erwin Berkowitz on percussion at Ravinia's Martin Theater. First, I'd love to know from both of you, Tom and Becky, how's the pandemic treated you?
Becky, you go first.
Well, I was in Puerto Vallarta, and we had been in New York City and had several friends, you know, not be able to do their shows on Broadway because they had come down with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, then Erwin and I had a gig. I had a gig in Puerto Vallarta. We went to Puerto Vallarta. And when we got back, Chicago had shut down 2 days before.
Wow. So early March of 2020.
We were at Ravinia that season. Mm. That was Welt Kaufman's last season, and yep. We were booked for that season. And then, you know, we lost all of our major gigs. There were no clubs open. I pivoted and started doing arrangements for singers across the country.
Mm. What were the singers across the country doing? I mean, they were locked down too, were they not?
I think they wanted to sing, and I had a man I didn't know incredibly well who knew the way I played piano, mm-hmm. and he said, Becky, there would be people who would pay to have a Becky Menzie arrangement, but they don't live in Chicago.
Well, that's flattering. That's flattering.
So I spent a lot of money in COVID in that first month or two and put in kind of an in-home recording studio and started doing that.
Did you?
And you were also able to rehearse with people on a thing on a system called Jam Kazam.
An
right?
app called Jam Kazam, yeah.
Thank God for Jam Kazam because that really kept you going, you know, and being able to work with people no matter how far they were away from you.
Let me ask you, that kind of remote, I hate, frankly, Tom Michael and Becky Menzie, I grew to hate Zoom. Just could not stand it. Got so lonely for physical contact. Becky, was the Mondays at Pettorino's, that must have stopped, yes?
Well, it stopped almost before. Denise McGowan Tracy moved, and Lettuce had been approached to sell that particular restaurant. So we had a feeling that was coming even before. And it just wasn't Monday Night Live without Denise, in all honesty. And I miss that tremendously.
The vivacious, always vivacious Denise McGowan. She and Ed moved to Michigan, did they not?
Benton Harbor.
Yeah. I hope they're doing well up there. Tom, what about for you? You two, when I've seen you two both get such incredible joy out of performing, and part of that...
Well, for me, it's, you know, it's the collaboration.
Yeah.
Being part of a duo. I had tried many, many years ago doing a few cabaret shows and stuff alone, and I just didn't really enjoy it. And once I met Becky, and the art and the act of collaboration is what I really enjoyed doing, is where my heart lay. And I love to sing with her. I love playing off of each other. I love the two voices coming together as one. That's where my passion is. And so I really, really, I spent most of the pandemic in Palm Springs because we have a house out there, and which is really a wonderful place to be.
And I can imagine.
Especially in the winter in the middle of a pandemic. But I miss the music so much. And I would come back and forth, you know, like during the summer and stuff. And we did a few shows actually on Zoom, you know, for different groups and stuff. And as grateful as I was just to be singing, it was just a really hard to do that.
Oh, I can no, you too. I can only imagine because both of you are such intimate performers, and I've seen you both. You so get energy from the crowd around you, and and you feed off that. Do you not, both of you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, the lawn seats.
Oh, yeah.
At Ravinia, because I think seeing us together and the way we interpret together are also just the fun that we have is such a part of the show. So I'm going to be curious about the people who bought lawn tickets. But we're in the Martins Theater.
That's a different scene. That's a real kind of theater. But it's also not a cabaret, and people aren't, as I recall, the Martin Theater, they aren't drinking in there. And for me, drinking is such a huge and essential part of the cabaret,
of
the cabaret world. And I think it loosens people up. Take me back, if you will, because you're going to be on this entire hour, and I'm really grateful to you for that. When you first met, Tom just alluded to, well, when he first met you and the collaboration began, when was that? Becky, I'll test both of your memories.
Okay, I can tell you.
Okay.
I would say my guesstimate is that that happened in 1988, which is the first year I moved to Chicago, because he had heard me play. The first week I got here, I went to perform at an open mic called Boomla, and I know you remember that because you were my first Tribune quote at Boomla. At the Adams Family or something, and we
that was a great little club.
It was a great club. You could drink there, and
yes,
you sounded better when you drank. But no, we played there, and he hired me to do a session for him.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't love at first sight for Becky.
You're saying it, but elaborate for me, Tom.
Well, I didn't really know much about music when I first started singing. I think I've told you this before, in a group called Up With People, and that's how I kind of got started. I never sang as a kid. Wasn't my thing. And so I didn't really know that transposing in, what do you call it, Becky, a tritone, would be a hard thing. And so I just brought in all of these really hard transpositions.
Okay, let me interject
for
just for 1 second.
Yeah.
For a musician who for a solid hour is transposing up a tritone, it's kind of like me reading Mandarin. And it,
and I just thought,
literally,
well,
my head hurt.
Didn't know. And so at the end of that first hour, she was like, okay, well, it's been nice.
Okay, see you later. Yeah, see you later. Well, we're going to continue on with the collaborative career of Becky Menzie and Tom Michael, who have cut an amazing, I think, path in this city, in the cabaret scene and the theater scene. They'll be at the Martin Theater on June 30th doing a show called Reimagine the Beatles. You will hear a couple songs from them. And we'll continue on with the story after a short, short break. I am on the phone for this entire hour with two of the most talented musicians to ever grace this city, rich in musicians, Tom Michael and Becky Menzie. We are going through their entire biography here, and we are at the point where Becky is not exactly intrigued by Michael, right, Becky?
You go ahead, Becky.
Yeah. Now, Tom, it's a very self-effacing first meeting. Yeah, I heard him. I listened to that for an hour and said,
I loved you, Becky.
Yeah, you know what? It was a hard session.
Yeah.
And I just didn't, we were really different musicians at that point. I kind of prided myself on being organic and creativity, and Tom was a little
more... I was more disciplined.
Anal. Tom was more anal.
Yeah.
And and so we, but we kind of found each other, and then... I think we did a couple of shows with John Mahady together in sync, which we
were
not. Oh
my God, good old John! You're bringing back you're bringing back my entire cabaret reviewing life. Yeah, good old John Mahady. I remember him well.
Yeah. And musically we were different, but Tom and I started singing duets together, and something happened where
The audience has kind of started telling us, hey, you guys have something, you know, they would really respond when we would sing together. It just
and then
kind
we
of
sang at Town Hall in New York City. We were invited to be at the Donald Smith's Cabaret Convention at Town Hall, and they put us on the closing number on the opening night.
Really?
Which normally is a star. Normally is Karen Mason or Ann Hampton Callaway or Karen Akers or something like that. And they had us close, and we got a really amazing response. And we went back to our hotel room after a bunch of other events we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, do we want to try this for a year and see if we could get work? And we still enjoy making music. And it's been 22 years since that.
How many? You must have done, I'm not going to say hundreds, but perhaps it is hundreds of shows together, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Hundreds.
Oh, at least. Yeah.
What was it? It has to be. I mean, just hearing the two of you talk, my friend Michael Clevenger's sitting here saying, these two really like each other. I think it's palpable. I think that's palpable. But musically, the foundation of your collaboration, is it as simple as, wow, we really like the same music? We really like to interpret music in this fashion? What is it? What's the secret here?
Well, I think for me, we're just such good friends.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, we really, I love hanging with Becky, just being with Becky. Some of my favorite times are long road trips where we can just talk and really just catch up and visit. And that, for me, brings us closer together, which also brings the music closer together. You know, it's our time as friends and also the time as music partners both. Bring us.
And for me, the music, the interesting thing that happened is that while we started out really different, as far as I love to be organic in the middle of a show, I learned the real value of finding the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
And really deciding what is going to earn, take us on the journey together, and how can we be different than other duos? What do we bring to the plate on that? And I think Tom and I started out on a wide pendulum swing, being very different, and then we really grew from each other's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exciting when we really started to delve into what we were going to identify us as, what made us different than many other national cabaret duos.
Noticing today, actually, at rehearsal, how if I just look out of the corner of my eye and I see Becky swing her head one way, it's almost like I know where she's going and I go right with her. There's these minute little cues that she can give me, I know exactly where to go. Because we're so in sync and used to being together as performers.
See, I have often thought that musicians, singers and musicians, that there is an unspoken kind of language
that really goes on
when they're playing. I will recall for you, since I can tell a story and you're on for an hour, I'll never forget seeing a live taping of Soundstage and Benny Goodman was on soundstage, and all of a sudden they introduced a young guitarist named George Benson.
Oh, wow.
And George Benson came out there, and you could tell that Benny Goodman had no idea who this guy was and was kind of put off that some young black guitar player was coming out there. And you could see, as Benson started to play, Goodman also started to play, and you could see a relationship form musically. And this was in a venue. I was not drinking. It was at a TV studio, and I was just. It was one of those moments for me. When you first began to do this, how would you select your material? Would you just sit around and say, "Look, I really like Cole Porter," or "I really like Irving Berlin"? How did you make your selections? Part of it must have been, well, you're really good at singing this, yes?
It's still a little bit that,
mm-hmm.
in the fact that Tom, we know what Tom's strength is. Tom can he has a gorgeous voice.
Indeed.
And that voice, especially on recording, is really just stunning. And I would say my strengths are I can fire you up or make you cry. I think that I will take you on a lyric journey, which is kind of what happens a little bit in the Beatles show. We reimagine the Beatles. And so that what happens is there's a lot of variety in that, but we've also gotten better at what the other is good at. And it is an unspoken language, but I think it comes. We used to, before COVID, we used to rehearse 2 to 3 times a week.
Really?
Every week. Yeah. I would say 42 weeks out of 52.
Wow. Wow.
And so we never got lazy. We decided to create a new show every year so that audiences never heard the same song over and over. And we put work, because the work was fun, and also because we valued our audience.
Yeah,
put that into that.
Well, that's always been kind of palpable. Wherever either of you have played, your attention to that audience is palpable, as I said. This Beatles, you were nice enough to send two selections from the show. What is it? We're all I'm older still, roughly the same generation, and obviously the Beatles are the Beatles, and I almost had a heart attack when Paul McCartney turned 80, but beside that, and their music has been interpreted by all manner of performers.
Yeah.
Was it obvious to you? I mean, was it at one point saying, God, we should reimagine the Beatles?
Becky always wanted to do a Beatles show.
Really?
For years and years and years. She just said, come on. And I wasn't up for it.
Why?
Just tell him. You have to tell him why.
Why?
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I did not like to listen to the Beatles. I was into show music and everything. I just had it in my... They scared me, first of all. The music scared me. I thought that if you listened to the Beatles, it just like automatically meant you were addicted to LSD or something. I don't know.
It tells you everything you need to know about
it. It does. It really
does. That tells me plenty, I'll tell you that, Becky.
It wasn't my thing. And finally, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I said, okay, let's do it. Let's just do it and see what happens. And... Oh my God!
And then we got Ravinia, and COVID hit.
Well, I will show you if you two be kind enough to sit through the news. We'll come back, and in the next half hour, I'll play two songs from this Reimagine the Beatles show that Tom, Michael, and Becky Menzi will be performing on the 30th in the Ravinia's Martin Theater. You can go to ravinia.org. You can go to tommichael.net, and you can go to beckymenzi.com, and you should go to all three of those sites because you both have wonderful sites. We shall return, and you will hear music. Welcome back. Rick Kogan and After Hours is the name of the show, and Tom Michael and Becky Menzi are my guests, and they will be performing June 30th. Their show is titled Reimagine the Beatles. It is a concert, but it's also a show. A concert doesn't do it, because you two do work off and feed off the audience. I think that will be possible at Ravinia's Martin Theater, will it not?
Yes, totally. Now, our big dance number we're not doing, and that's a joke. You can't hear the sarcasm in my...
I can hear it. No, I can hear it. I can hear it. Now, Tom was afraid of the Beatles because he thought if he listened to the Beatles, he'd start taking LSD or
I mean, not literally.
But intimidating, Tom, or what?
I just didn't get it. Yeah. You know, I was into listening to more show albums,
sure,
or light pop music, the Motown sound, that kind of thing. And the Beatles just, I don't know, they were a little hard edge for me. And I can remember hearing the song Maxwell Silver Hammer and thinking, oh my God, this is about a murderer. And what are these people
thinking? And I, of course,
wasn't
loved
my
that.
Thing.
Becky, how did you finally win him over? You've been wanting to do a Beatles show for some time. How did you win him over?
Well, we created, because we were doing a little more, you know, we did start off doing a lot of Broadway, because
sure,
I think that's what Tom liked. But I loved Carole King, too. I was a pop-ite.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, Irwin, who is our percussionist, he Ringo Starr is the reason he became a drummer.
Wow.
And he would talk about them. And so I would bring in an idea, a different Beatles song. And then we had one in our list. And he kind of liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would try another one. And then one of the songs that you're going to hear tonight, I think, was the third, which is Blackbird. And we kind of wanted to take it from the element of Strawberry Fields, and maybe about maybe arising in a different way. I think the song was actually written almost with more of a bent about being open-hearted racially. But we came from a different tactic. We really took it from the assassination of John Lennon, and and the kind of changes you make, and you lived fast and furious and that kind of thing. And when we loved that so much, then Tommy went, well, maybe we could do a Beatles show. And there was the minute he said maybe, I went like, cow, it's like all of a sudden I am in the Indy 500, and I went, okay, boom.
Well, all right, this is perfect timing. Let's hear, thanks to Chris Engineer and Chris DeFlores, let's hear that. These are all your arrangements, Becky, yes?
Yes.
This is Strawberry Fields Forever. And Blackbird as one, how do you say that, as one song or as...
Well, Strawberry Fields really is to set the mood for it. Just the song is really Blackbird, but we use Strawberry Fields under dialogue to have the audience join us on the journey we want to take.
Oh, how nice. Here you go, audience. If you can't go June 30th, you're getting a real taste of it right now. Boy, you two, that is just spine-tinglingly beautiful. It really, really is.
Thank you.
How do you like listening to yourselves?
Well, I'm listening to myself on a rather old landline phone.
And I sound terrible on a landline phone.
But you know what? I used to be harder for me.
Yeah. We have to take another break and then we'll finish off, and I'm really grateful to you for spending this whole hour. You will hear another song, you, Becky Menzie and Tom Michael, and you listeners out there. So please stay tuned. We'll play another song and talk a little bit more about this June 30th performance at Ravinia. Welcome back. A few more minutes with Becky Menzie and Tom Michael, who are collaborating after they've been doing it for more than two decades. They're collaborating again at Ravinia in the Martin Theater. Their show is Reimagining the Beatles. There are 30 songs that are part of this show, are they not?
Yeah, well, they're spiced in there. There are, you may not hear, you may hear a hint of You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
Mm-hmm.
You may hear what little you heard of Strawberry Fields Forever, but you're going to hear you're going to hear over 30, right around 30 songs that are in the show.
Well, they're going to hear they're going to hear two more in about 2 minutes. I'm very grateful to you two hanging on the phone for this entire hour. You know how fond I am of you, and
we adore you. We always enjoy you.
Hey, we're part of the strange cabaret scene. How can we not? If we don't adore each other, we're lost. We're lost. And Becky's wonderful husband, Erwin Berkowitz, will be on percussion. Inspired. This is a great thing to know. Inspired by Ringo Starr. The young Erwin saw Ringo Starr play the drums and said, I'm going to do that. Tom can be found at Tom Michael, TOMMICHALE.net. Becky can be found at BECKIEMENZIE. And you can also go to Ravinia.org. You two, I hope I can get up there and see this.
Thank you.
My life's a nightmare, but I don't get to do a lot of things I really would like to do. I have too many responsibilities, but knock 'em dead. Knock 'em dead, will you please?
Yes, we will.